Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Now, the Fans Christmas Chorus brings you Mousy the Snowman.
Oh, Mousy the Snowman was a jolly, happy soul. With a giant bald head and a button nose, his favorite picture was Garrett Cole. Oh, Mousy the Snowman, here's a fairy tale they say. He was made of snow, but the listeners know how he came to life one day.
There must have been some magic in that oversized hat they found. For when they placed it on his head, Mousy danced around.
Oh, Mousy the snowman was alive as he could be. He used giant words and his favorite GM was a man named George McPhee.
I still can't get over how bad the ending is.
The ladies' chorus, which had done such a good job, clearly was thrown off by how cumbersome and unwieldy it was, and it hurt their performance too. God, that's like you get to the studio, you think you're writing up Blue Oyster Cult's Don't Fear the Reaper, and you can't bring it home. Joe had like a near banger on his hands, and he's dropped the ball.
It's like having a wonderful flight and then forgetting to put down the landing gear.
That's a great analogy. That's perfect. Just belly flopping that 747 into the runway. 100% true, Charlie.
Man.
You know what? I'm flattered that they would.
It did have potential.
I'm flattered that they would make a song about me. I'm disappointed that the song fell so flat at the end.
It just goes back to whenever Joe gets the creative juices going with stuff like this, he falls back on the end rhyme has to be somebody's favorite ex player or now apparently hockey GM. And if he had just broadened his horizons and thought about the fact that the rhyme was just
right there,
perfect for nine straight threes, it would have been, I think, an instant classic. You know, some songs, the more you listen to them, the more they get stuck in your head, the more you like them. This song is actually having the opposite effect on me.
It's going the wrong way.
Yep.
You know what? You know who he could have taken a lyrical nod from? Colony. He used to make those songs, Stud Brad Lincoln for Hot Rod Lincoln. He used to do a better job with that stuff. Lyrically.
I honestly, that's the only one I can think of that he ever did.
I made lyrics for him and for Giannotti back in the very early days of the station that was Don't Bring Me Down by ELO, but it was Don't Take the Mound for Zach Duke. Mm. So we had it all together. Don't Take the Mound, Duke.
Yeah, and you wrote the whole song. Oh,
I had like lyrics written out. You have to make it actually. You have to write it out to make sure it works.
Well, it was right there. It was right for the picking. This song.
You ever missed a layup in basketball in a game?
Yes.
You went in
of
and
course.
You just biffed a layup. That's what he did.
We are live at Mike's Beer Bar, and we are here for our big Christmas karaoke event. Starts at 7. People are already filing in. One of our loyal listeners, Eileen, who brought us Sarah's chocolate pretzels
elite.
As a thank you, which was above and beyond. She has been a listener for such a long time that she has pictures saved on her phone.
of us from the before times.
And she had one where she met you and Joe before a Penguins hockey game way back in the day.
Correct.
And then she had one of me from an event, I think, at Jurgles.
You look like you were very unkempt.
So I had her, you're right, I had her send it to me. I don't know what's going on with my hair in this picture, Chris.
You look like you just rolled out of bed in like a drug-induced stupor.
It's honestly one of the worst.
Let me see it here again.
Go ahead. I mean, I've got to be consistent. If I'm going to rip Joe for his song, I've got to, if I see something that I don't like with myself.
You kind of look like Teen Wolf here.
Our
just
old,
do a very fast
show
just do a very fast look. Like I just, you look extremely skinny, like unhealthily skinny, which he kind of looked.
Yeah.
And then just,
but you also were unhealthily skinny at one point not too long ago, so it takes one to know one.
No, I mean I
Doran called you out at our fan lunch for that. He said you looked horrible. Which I thought was a little harsh, but that's okay.
At the fan lunch we just had?
Yeah. Remember he was talking, because we got on the topic of weight because of all
I dropped into the 160s for one day just to see if I could do it, but I'm back up where I want to be now.
Well, I agree with that, but he crushed you for your look back then. That's
well, it's awful. Because there was no muscle tone on old Malzy. There still really isn't, but I tell you what, you've done one thing in 2024 that has put me to shame. You got the personal training sessions given to you by Amanda as a gift for what, your birthday or Christmas? I think your birthday is right after
I think it
New
was
Year's.
A hybrid, which is not my favorite, but that's okay. It was a big
enough smashed
gift.
Them together.
Yeah.
And it was what, 1 year personal training?
No, it was like a trial basis.
And
at
so
first.
You've kept it going.
Yeah.
That's my statement here. You have really kept it going. I think if we had to engage in hand to hand combat, I wouldn't like my chances. Because you look like you've really put on a lot of strength. Yeah, but I would want to just win on like, you know, general merits. I don't want to have to rely on scrappiness. Scrappiness can turn, you know, you can be all scrappy that you want. You might get your ass kicked by somebody that's just bigger and stronger.
All right, so the updated Steelers injury report here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will say before we get into who's on it, the Steelers staged another walkthrough today. So that means that for the game against the Ravens, for the AFC North, this titanic showdown between two teams that hate each other, probably the NFL's best rivalry, at most they're going to have one day of practice.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a downer, I think. I think that's a bummer that...
You think it's going to like negatively affect the product on the field?
I think it could.
So is that why you think it's a downer?
Well, yeah, so I'll say yes. I think it will.
Okay.
Because you want games like this late in the year.
To be well contested.
High
quality play.
Yeah, and
I agree with that.
The reason why they're doing this is because they want to make sure that there's games played on Christmas. And in order to do so, mm-hmm. they can't have the Steelers play a game on Sunday against the Ravens. So they have to move it back a day. And because there's also that game on Wednesday, Mike Tomlin, I think, is with this game, like playing the long game.
Trying not to wear his guys out in advance and hurt him twice. Who do you think having less
that
practice
blows,
benefits,
dude.
By the way, of these two teams? Who benefits more, like, as far as they don't need to practice, they're in better shape? I actually think the Ravens might be worse off for this. Because they'd want to work on little subtle things that maybe they could do to unlock Jackson in this game.
Yeah, but if our big complaint coming out of the Eagles game was that the offense was too predictable and they did things that were like to type and the Eagles saw it coming, like how are they?
Well, was it that hard to – do you have to practice to say we're not going to run the ball 81% of the time under center and pass it 92% of the time out of the gun?
I would say no.
Like, that should be a pretty easy process.
I know, but everybody who's played in the NFL, who's told me about these quick turnaround games, say that they're more basic and you just get back to, like, the fundamentals of football for them.
Okay, you know, then what would worry me about the Steelers then, just to continue to play this out and pull this string, is they tackled so horribly. Now, granted, you aren't really getting physical, though, during in-season practices. That's kind of a thing of the past. But they did tackle so badly against the Eagles that I would wonder if Tomlin's just going to hope he can basically talk them into, like, hey, you have to finish the play. You know, you've got to stick your nose in there. It sucks that we're in this position. and that we're playing these three games.
I just
so
want a
high
quality football game when these two teams play, because I think that's what the rivalry deserves. So this makes me think that that can't necessarily
happen. But I think the NFL has like made their deal with the devil there. They've made the following calculation, and they don't. Like, I think what people have to understand is, like, Roger Goodell does not care that this is a high-stakes game that might be a sloppy, ugly game, because it just doesn't matter to him, like, that part of it.
No, because no matter how bad the games get, nobody actually turns off the NFL. The only time they did was when guys started taking a knee before the national anthem, and everyone's come back from that.
And that is what I was going to get to, was what the NFL innately knows is, no matter how bad the quality of play is and how much you and I are sitting there going, ugh. Or, like, Steelers fans or Ravens fans are just saying, like, this game is a real sloppy, like, hard-to-watch game. It never turns into a hard-to-watch, so I'm going to turn the channel. Like, it's just not going to get to that point for people. It never will. And they know that, and so they will continue to do this. And the only thing I will say to you, though, as we play this out, because this is, like, for me, a very interesting sort of thread to pull at here. I will say that I think Tomlin is better suited than Harbaugh and better suited than most coaches to be in a sloppy game and find a way to win it.
Well, yeah, that's his bread and butter the last few years. The only other thing the rebuttal I have, though, is Harbaugh's outthought himself a lot in these games, and maybe this eliminates the paralysis by analysis with him.
He just has to dumb it down for himself.
I mean, they went into the Ravens game, and now the guy's been suspended and isn't a part of the team, but our hypothesis or thought that he might try to jam Deontay Johnson into that game was accurate. They did look to him early in the game. It didn't work, and then they went away from him as the game went on, but they did try it. He did attempt to, like, make that a thing. Yes. Like, let's get payback at them. You know, you're now new to the team. You know these guys. There's some
for Harbaugh, I think the most tangible thing is it might just compel him to say, I'm going to hand the ball to Derrick Henry a whole bunch.
Yeah, how's that make you feel about the matchup?
Not good, because Derrick Henry was running well against them until John Harbaugh said, I don't need to give him the ball once in the fourth quarter.
Watt and Ogunjobi were elevated to limited. I feel like they're both going to play. And you and I have both said we'd prefer Watt in this game to Pickens, because Watt is synonymous with...
He's the Lamar stopper. He's the personification of what they're able to
held him in check, exactly. So that, I think that's obviously encouraging. Pickens, Elliott, Dante Jackson, and Fields are still DNP. So as of right now, I would guess your starting strong safety and your number two corner who has five interceptions are probably not going to play in the game. And then the gadgetry of Justin Fields is probably on the back burner too.
Mm-hmm.
I've reached a point in life where I don't like people who complain. I don't like to be around people that always have like a negative mindset or a negative attitude on things. So I try to practice what I preach and not do it myself. So I think
you're saying on the air or off the air?
Just in life. I feel like I want to surround myself with positive people and not negative people who expect negative things to happen before they actually do.
God, it must be exhausting working with me.
You don't always know. Don't put yourself down here. What I'm saying is that I am doing my best to resist the temptation of falling into that and saying that that's what's going to happen with this game. I just my midweek vibe check is that I do not have a very good feeling about this game on Saturday, and we're getting dangerously close for me if they lose on Saturday and then follow it up with a loss against the Chiefs, of me starting to feel a lot of 2020 Steelers vibes with this team if that happens. The schedule will get blamed and Goodell will get blamed, but I don't want to give and the injuries, but I don't want to give them that full blown excuse.
So start with my vibe check is technically that I think they're going to lose this game. If you asked me to pick it right now, it would be a Ravens win. I wouldn't be getting 2020 vibes just because I still think this team has been playing better football than not for the most part since Wilson took over. Like, they've had some spotty games, but we've seen them explode offensively at times. We've seen him throw for 400 yards. 2020, maybe I'm misremembering this, or maybe I just was out on an island. Like, it felt like a steady, steady, inexorable decline
for
them.
Even when they were winning games, Tomlin was starting to get pissed off frustrated.
He was getting frustrated. We were getting frustrated. And for the final five games, I would argue they played one good half of football that was enough to beat the Colts. Yep. Like, Ben got red hot out of nowhere, hit Deontay with that big play. But, like, they were you know, a turd circling the drain. They were being flushed. This team doesn't have that vibe. I mean, they got pounded by Philly, and Philly is really good. But I don't get the same overarching sense about them the way there was a sense of dread with the 2020 team. I can't ever remember there being a time like when more people were feeling not good about an undefeated football team more than halfway through the season. We've all like sounded alarms about the Chiefs whenever they come up in conversation, like, wow, they're getting it done with smoke and mirrors.
Yeah, they're the closest thing to that.
They're still the damn Chiefs, though. Like, and there is reason in their very recent past to think like they can shake off this at any time and be scary. The Steelers had not really given you any reason to believe that that was the case. Ben was a guy who at that point wanted to throw the ball quick, throw the ball short. The book was out on them, and once it was out, they didn't have anything else in the arsenal. Like, there was no counterpunch whatsoever from the Steelers. I don't feel that way about this team.
So you won't feel like the sky is falling if they lose three games in a row?
No, I'm not going to. I would prefer they win them because that's like those are data points to say, like, hey, you can beat these teams, even maybe in their building in the playoffs. But no, I am not going to get 2020 vibes unless Russ just literally looks like he can't play the position anymore.
I wouldn't say he looked that way against the Eagles.
He was just they were very tendency predictable, and they didn't have their best player.
Yeah, he just wasn't good enough to raise everybody's level of play against a team like
that. Which how many guys were? Lamar looked out of sorts against them too.